Revelation 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seal thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and four beasts stood a lamb as it had been slain. And one of the elders said, behold the Lion. And John said, and I turned and beheld a lamb. You may be seated. For a subject title, I will use this: the Song of the Lamb. The Song of the Lamb. Now, the Bible is very pointedly silent concerning the pre-creation time. Occasionally, we read through the Word of God and we see sketches of Scriptures that merely paint to us bare outlines that are only hintings of happenings, of things that took place before the creation of the world and recorded time. And in all of these Scriptures, the details are always unclear. They're only fuzzy suggestions that hint and paint a mere outline of a picture of pre-creation time. Yet, in the outline, there emerges one clear, startling, unmistakable fact, that every view of God that is given of Him before He created a world is a view of a God that is strong, that is powerful, that is mighty, and that is omnipotent, and knows no limit to His ability. He said, let there be light. And with a startling crescendo as crashing cymbals, light burst through the darkness. Let the dry land appear. Can you imagine the stupendous energy as the continents heaved themselves out of the depth? The Bible said, He stretcheth the north out over the empty place and hangeth the world upon nothing. Every view, remember, that you get of God before He created a world is a view of a God with omnipotent, awesome power and ability. The Bible said He has measured the water in the hollow of His hands. He has beaten out the heavens with a span. He has comprehended the dust in a measure and weighed the hills in a balance. He said, before time was, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And without Him, there was not anything made that was made. For He is before all things, and by Him all things do consist. Every glimpse that you get of Jehovah is a view of the almighty power of God. Now, into this atmosphere of omnipotence, God created angels. Immediately hand-molded by Jehovah waking into full consciousness at the foot of the throne, they lifted up their eyes and gazed in the face of the Almighty God. Automatically, instantly, there burst from them adoration, praise, admiration. It flowed from them when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy. But notice their praise. If you go to Revelation to Genesis, backward or forward, every time they praise Him, it is an accolade of His might. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. For Thou hast created all things, and they were created for Thy pleasure. It was orchestrated praise that echoed through eons up and down the halls of heaven, exalting the omnipotence of God. It rang with unceasing ages. And all of the praises of angels, again, if you will search through the Bible, wherever angels speak of God, they speak of His strength, of His might, and of His power. And they are right, for He is Alpha and Omega. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is, He did create all things, and by Him all things were created. And without Him there was not one thing made that was made. And I'm glad I know that. Now, when I began to look at that, I began to wonder why, after countless ages of tireless, unceasing praise, with joy that never grew weary, after mansions, after angels' praise that had never known sin, and their praise and their love was not forced. There was a time that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. If he had the power to make a choice, the other angels had the power to make a choice. So the love and the praise that God received was of a willful love and of a willful choice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Amen. It flowed from their heart. It was genuine devotion. Now, why did God, after billions of years, for who knows how old He is, after countless eternities, why did less than 2,000 years ago He left that praise that was full of love? He left that joy that was genuine, and He came to a world that did not love Him, that did not want Him, that did not praise Him, that did not esteem Him. Was there something that He wanted that angels could not give? He did not need a church. He had existed countless billions of eons without one. He needed no man. He was complete within Himself. But there was something about God that angels did not know. There was something about God that angels could not see. There was an attribute about God, and it was the greatest one He had. They had sung songs about everything except one thing. They had sang praises. They had lifted Him up. But there was one thing that never was sung about. There was one thing that was never mentioned. And God grew weary of waiting, for there was something He had before there was an angel. It was there in the beginning, but the reason angels did not recognize it is because it did not fit in heaven. It was out of place there. Angels could not relate to it. They could not comprehend it. And it screamed for recognition. And so He created a world. But that was a byproduct. The end goal was when an angel stood before Mary and said, "Thou shalt call His name J-E-S-U-S, Jesus." Hallelujah. And the world was introduced to God's original possession. It had gone unsung for ages. It was common to angels, but it was meaningless to them. They could not relate to it. They could not understand it. It had no meaning to them. But when man learned the name Jesus, he learned the most important attribute about God there was. For the name was not made for streets of gold. The name was not made for angels. The name was not made for angels that had never sinned. But do you know what the name means? The name means Jehovah is become our salvation. It was made for sinners. It was made for alcoholics. It was made for drug addicts. It was made for the sick. It was made for the blind. It was made for the lost. And angels didn't know what it was. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. It was made for prodigal sons. It was made for backsliders. It was made for a thief on the cross. It's a greater name than Lord. It's a greater name than Almighty. When you say Jesus, it means more than one that created the world. It means one that reached down and picked up a man out of the gutter of sin and changed him and set him free. Hallelujah. Oh, glory! The name is not greatest when it is said by angels. In fact, every time an angel said the name of Jesus was only when they were commanded to. It was only when they were ordered to. Because they don't know what salvation is. They cannot relate to it. All they know is His power and His might and His glory and how pure He is. All they can remember is when He spanned the heavens with His hand. All they can remember is when He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All they know about Him was that He spoke the world into existence. But the name is not its most beautiful when it's sung by angels, but when a man is a sinner, when he's lost, and he walks down an aisle and falls at an altar, that's where the name fits. That's where the name belongs. It belongs for the sinner. It belongs for the lost. I need somebody to read Acts 15 and verse 14. Anybody got a Bible up here? Read Acts 15 and 14. Brother Creel, you're elected there. Hallelujah. I want to tell you why we are where we are. Let me explain to you, please, sir, why we are at Louisiana Camp Meeting, July the 4th, 1979. Let me tell you why there was a cross, and why there was a Gethsemane, and why there was a Golgotha, and why there was a death, and there was a burial, and there was a resurrection. Read, please. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Not for streets of gold, not for mansions, but He said there's something that never angels never could talk about. I want to get me a group of Gentiles that knows how to say Jesus. I want to visit the Gentiles to get me some people that knows how to praise my name for His name's sake. Oh, glory. Mansions were made for man. Stars were made for man. But man was made for His name's sake. Do you know why God fills you with the Holy Ghost? For His name's sake. He did visit the Gentiles for one reason. Jerusalem said, "We don't want Him." And He said, "You shall not see me henceforth until you say one thing. Blessed is he that cometh in the power." Forget the power. "Blessed is he that can raise the dead." Forget the dead. You're not going to see me until you can say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then I'll come. If you want a Messiah, He's got to come in Jesus' name. If you want a Savior, He's got to come in Jesus' name. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name
that is above every name, that hath not the throne, not the purity, not his holiness, but at the name, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess at that name. I'm glad I know that name. Man has an appointment with the name. Every knee's going to bow to the name. Every tongue's going to confess to the name. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name given unto men among heaven, or vice versa, whereby we must be saved. Such is your obligation to the name that salvation will only come in it. Such is your obligation to the name that the Holy Ghost will only come in my name. Such is your obligation to the name that you can't be saved any other way except through the name of Jesus Christ. Because angels praise him for what he is and what he can do. But he said, Israel, I am jealous for my name's sake. Don't praise me for what I can do. Don't praise me for my mansions, but praise me for my name's sake. The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name. In the name. You can make all the confessions you want. You can shake all the preacher's hands you want, but till you come down that aisle in Jesus' name, till you go down in Jesus' name, you're condemned, because he wants that name glorified. Things about God that angels do not know. Angels relate to him in their environment. He is a creator. He is almighty. The reason the elder said, behold the lion, is Proverbs chapter 30, speaking in the language of God, said the lion is strongest among beasts. He turneth not away from any. And when the elder wanted to introduce John to him, he said, the way I see him is one that prevailed to open the books. I want you to see one that nobody turns away from. I want you to see one that the devils know there's one God, and their knees shake. They look at him and are terrified. But John said, when I turned around to see somebody to be afraid of, I saw my lamb. It wasn't a lion, but I saw one led as a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before shearers. I saw him hanging on a cross. At the birth of Jesus Christ, the angel said, was commissioned, go tell Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Go tell the shepherds in the field about it. And they left out the name. Oh, go to Bethlehem. There's one there that's Christ, the Lord, his power, Lord. And they started singing songs. It wasn't about his name. They couldn't relate to it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But there are some attributes of God that are greater than his ability to carve the Grand Canyon. There are some feats that his hand can do that are mightier than stretching out the north and hanging the world upon nothing. There is a source of power that the angels have never seen. They never did sing about it. They never could relate to it. And that was his name. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. 1 Peter 1 and 12. The angels cannot comprehend blood. The angels cannot comprehend mercy. The angels cannot comprehend forgiveness. They cannot comprehend atonement. They cannot comprehend the kindness and the forgiving mercy of God. 1 Peter 1 and 12. And I'm going to show you by Scripture.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
The gospel of the name of Jesus. The angels can't understand why we're acting like this. No, sir. They desire to look into it. They had seen him cast Lucifer out of heaven. That was what they could relate to. But when he walked up the cross, walked up the hill with a cross on his shoulder, when he knelt in Gethsemane, when he was spit upon, they could not understand it. They did not know what it was. It was a nature not of the lion, but it was the nature of one that John said, "Behold, the Lamb, he has come not to condemn, he has come not to destroy, but he has come to take away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. Which things the angels desire to look into. We know that when a sinner repents, there is joy in heaven. But you never read where they do anything when a sinner gets baptized. You know why? Repentance relates to angels. It's sheer grit and determination. It's willpower. A man gets up off that pew and says, "I'm going to quit smoking and quit cussing and quit drinking and lying if it kills me." There it is. It's on the altar. Angels like that. Boy, they said, "I like that, I like that, I like that." But when we take that same man and take him down to a watery grave and call the name Jesus and we begin to act like this, Michael turns to Gabriel and says, "I wish I could feel what they felt. I wish I knew what they knew. I just can't understand why they're getting so happy over that little word, J-E-S-U-S. I'll tell you why, Brother Mangan. Because it was made for hippies. It was made for alcoholics. It was made for drunkards. It was made for backsliders. Angels can't understand it because they've never known what it is to kneel at an altar and have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all of your sins. It was made for somebody to go down in the name of Jesus and come up born of the water and of the Spirit. They can't feel what we feel. Neither can the world understand why we're acting like this. The world can't understand. They desire to look into what is going on here at this Tioga campground. What in the world are they doing around there? Hey, have you ever seen anybody act like them? Have you ever seen anybody kneel in an aisle the whole time a preacher was preaching? Have you ever seen anybody dance across the front? That's not only what the angels are saying, but the world can understand repentance. The world can understand talking in tongues, but they cannot understand why you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You want to know why we get happy over that name? You want to know why we get excited this way, sir? I'll tell you why. Are there any people out there ever been drunk and you got delivered by the name of Jesus Christ? Would you sort of wave your hand one time? Why don't you stand up? Is there anybody out there that's ever been on drugs and Jesus Christ delivered you? Why don't you stand up? Has anybody ever been bound by smoking and you got delivered in the name of Jesus Christ? Why don't you stand up? Anybody ever been healed of heart trouble? Why don't you stand up? Anybody ever been healed of cancer? Why don't you stand up? Anybody ever been set free from the world and hate and jealousy and pride? Why don't you stand up? That's why we love the name. Of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the deed that is done to these impotent, by what means we are like what we are, be it known unto all of you and all of these people that by the name, that by the name, that by the name, not the organization, not the denomination, but because they went down in the name of Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Everybody say Jesus. Oh, that's beautiful. Angels can't say it like that. Angels nudging one another and say, why is he dancing? Why is he running? Why is he getting excited? I'll tell you what, because we know the power that's in the name. Turn around and tell somebody, I love the name, and you may be seated. There's something sort of broke through about the last 30 seconds around here. I just feel something like a volcano. It's the power of that name. Honey, you talk about victory marches down streets of gold. It ain't nothing like a victory march around Louisiana campground. It means more to God than all the angels singing. It means more to God than all the angels rejoicing. Because it is the exaltation of the name of Jesus, his original possession. Now, if angels do not know all there is to know about God, Lucifer is only a fallen angel. And there are some things that Lucifer does not know and cannot relate to and cannot fight against. You can't fight against what you don't know. And do you know why the devil hates this Jesus name, people? Because the name is the revelation of a nature, not of a lion, but the name is the revelation of a nature about God that Lucifer never knew And when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Jesus introduced a power that Satan cannot cope with. He didn't bring law. He didn't bring ordinances. He did not bring judgment. But he brought a name that is a mediator, that sheds blood, that forgives. That's why the name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous runneth into it and are safe, because Lucifer does not know how to cope with the name.
Nudge somebody and say, "You're safe in the name."
It's time to lift up the name of Jesus. It's time to lift up the name of Jesus. It's time to lift up the name of Jesus.
Gabriel, I want to watch that Louisiana camp meeting a while. Move over, Michael. Y'all be quiet. I want to hear those apostolics sing. I want to watch them shout. And the angels desire to look into these things. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody, I really love that name, and you may be seated. Oh, God loves that. God loves that. Oh, Michael's punching Gabriel and said, "I can't understand why God loves that. He was just an old sinner. He was headed toward hell. He was a prodigal son." But I'll tell you, God said, "That's why I like it. You see, not many wise, not many noble, but he has chosen the outcast of the world." That's somebody that can glorify the name of Jesus. I introduce you to the people of the name. I introduce you to the people of the name. I introduce you to the people of the name. There they are. God understands it. God understands it. And he loves it. Psalms 149:3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them praise his name in the dance. When you shout in Jesus' name, he said, "I love that." Good. You may be seated.
In the Garden of Eden, Oh, let me back up. When Lucifer desired to be like God, there was only one thing he understood. He said, I'll exalt myself. Power. I'll be like the Most High God. I will be like him. He desired power to rule like God. When he was cast out of heaven and came to the Garden of Eden, and I ain't going to make it fall again either. When he came to the Garden of Eden, he came to Adam and Eve with power. Disobey God and you'll be like God. But God cursed him and took away from him the nature of a lion with power and cursed him with the nature of a serpent. Now, the only reason and the only way the devil can work against you, your adversary goes about not a roaring lion, but as a roaring lion. You don't walk up to a lion and say, I rebuke you. You don't walk up to a lion and say, in Jesus' name. But I would have you to know your adversary goes about trying to make you think that he is like God. He goes about as a roaring lion, but he's nothing but a serpent in the grass. If you'll pick up the sword of the name of Jesus and resist him, he will flee from you. Now, when Jesus came, he came not as a lion. Remember that Lucifer is cursed with the nature of a serpent now. And he's trying to tell everybody he's like a lion. But when Jesus is introduced, he is introduced as a lamb. Now, when he took on the nature of a lamb, he came to a world that was in sin. The Lucifer struck him. Upon him was laid the sin of us all. He did no sin, but he was made to be sin. Now they led him as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Not as a lion, but as a lamb. And he died, but death could not hold him. Death could not keep him. And the blood of the lamb became the antidote. It became the serum. I write to you, little children, that you sin not. But if any man sin, there is an antidote. There is a mediator. There is a serum. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us. How is the blood applied? Acts 10:43. For unto him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him hath remissions of sins. It's through his name. Blood remits the sins. The name remits the sins. You don't have the blood without the name. And the reason the devil hates Jesus' name baptism is because Father tells what he is. Son tells what he is. Holy Ghost tells what he is. But the name is who he is. It's the nature of the blood that cleanses us. Angels can't understand that. They desire to look into it. They desire to look into it. The Lord is not my lion. Keep quoting it. You'll know where I'm going. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. But the next one, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, I want you to live holy for my name. I want you to praise my name. I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I better close. It's getting late. I like this one. 1 John 2:12. First John 2:12.
And there's a lot more. Listen to this, would you?
I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake.
You know why you're here? To lift up the name of Jesus for His name's sake. He said, I'm going to visit the Gentiles and forgive them for one thing, for the sake of my name. It's time for us to lift up the name of Jesus as never before.
And the disciples came back rejoicing. And they were real happy. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through Thy name. Oh, no. Wait a minute, boys. You've missed it. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But that's not what I want you to get happy about. In this rejoice not, but rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. That's why I want you to get excited, because you are a sinner saved by grace, because you were on the way to hell and you've been buried in His name. The blood's been applied. That's why I love you. Behold the Lion. Angels see Him tremble when they remember His power. But John turned around and said, I beheld the Lamb. Yeah, Gabriel, I know you saw Him at Golgotha. But all you remember is the sun hiding its face. All you remember is the rocks bursting. All you remember is what He could have done. But I beheld Him as a lamb slain. You saw a lion that prevailed with might. But I saw Him as He had been slain. I saw Him from humanity's viewpoint. I saw Him because I was hanging on that other cross. And I said, Father, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, You over there on the middle cross, remember me. And I saw Him. I saw Him a different way than you saw Him, Michael. I saw Him turn around and say, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I was the centurion at the foot of the cross. I was the centurion that was there at the foot of the cross. And I looked up and I said, surely this must be the Son of God. I was the prodigal son, and the Lamb opened the door for me. I was among that angry mob that splashed through His blood, that said, I don't need Him, and I don't want Him, and I don't care for Him. But I'll tell you what I did see. I saw Him as a lamb that was slain, that took my sins, that bore them on the cross. And He's not one that I'm afraid of. Two flats. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Angels, they're right now saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, You've created all things. They've been there, Lord knows how long. But angels, step aside. Here come my bride. Here come the chosen one. Here come the holy one. Oh, yes, sir. Move outside. Here comes the people of the name. They're going to sing a new song. They're going to sing a song about amazing grace. They're going to sing a song about power in His blood. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I once was a drunkard, but now I'm born again. Angels, step aside. And Revelation said they sung a new song. A new song. A new song. Thou hast redeemed us by Your blood. Oh, would you be free from your burdens of sin? I know there's power. Oh, yes, there's power in the blood. Well, sin stains are lost in its life giving flow. Thank God there's power of the Lamb. I know there's power, power. There's wonder working in the blood. can't be done. What the name can't do, can't be done. Just wait till we start singing. Just wait till we start singing over there. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's anybody here without the Holy Ghost, if there's anybody here that needs your healing, if there's anybody here that needs deliverance, if you'll lift up your hands and start walking down that aisle calling on the name of Jesus, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's the power of His name. Hallelujah. They're already at the altar calling on the name. There's another one coming down the aisle. There's another one. There's another one. The power's in His name. The power's in His blood. That's right. They're talking in tongues already. Let's sing it. I know there's power. Power. There's wonder-working power in the blood. Roll off the Lamb. Come on. Come on down the aisle. There's power, power, power. Come on, walk down the aisle. I know there's power, power. There's wonder work. God of the Lord. Oh, yes, there's power, power. Wonder working power. Come on down the aisle. Sing it.